Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 487, Armed and Dangerous. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, August 23rd, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise God. A few weeks back, we talked about a piece of armor, the armor of God from Ephesians 6. Does anyone remember what it was? Faith, yes. And what was it represented by? The shield, right. The shield of faith. Remember that crazy thing? Darts flying in my head, all that. All right. Awesome. Well, we are going to talk about a different piece of the armor that we have today because we need to know what we have. We are equipped. As believers, born-again believers, walking with Jesus, he has given us equipment. But if we don't know what equipment we have, then we're not using it, right? If we don't even know what we have. And who's been going through some things? Anyone going through some things? I feel like it's just ramped up. I don't know if it's just me, but it's been an interesting summer. It's been in some ways challenging, but we must know when we're walking with Jesus that, you know, the devil doesn't like it. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war, actually, right? And in order to come out on the other side victorious of every battle, we need to know the equipment we have and we need to use it. We need to walk in it to be effective because the word says we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, right? And we, therefore, we're in a place of victory. Well, when the devil is doing all his things and throwing his darts at us and, you know, causing chaos in our families or sickness or you name it, or seems our pockets seem to be have holes in them and our finances just keep draining out or whatever the problem is, and there could be an onslaught of things, we need to not just remember and know with our heads that we are seated in heavenly places and that we're on the side of the victory. We've got to have that inside of us. And we have to have that confidence that we who we are in Christ and that we can walk with our heads held high. That's a tongue twister. That we truly are on the side of victory, that we have victory on the inside of us because we have Jesus on the inside of us, right?
Amen.
Amen. And so one of the pieces of armor that, the one that we're going to talk about today is so powerful. Everybody say powerful.
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 Yes, you can say it again. It's all right. Powerful. More powerful than muscles, right? It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God. Hallelujah for the Word of God. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. It is so powerful. It is our victory. And let's go to the Word. Let's just go to the Word because that's the power. That's where the power is at, right? I'll tell you, the name of this message today is Armed and Dangerous. Ha! Who wants to be armed and dangerous?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Guess what? You already are. You already are because of Jesus. You already are because the Word of God. But maybe this will help us sharpen this tool, this piece of armor that we have today, this message. I hope this and the Holy Spirit, more than me and what I say, just infuses this faith on the inside of you and infuses this boldness on the inside of you and reminds you who you are in Christ. And that you are powerful when you are armed with the Word of God. So let's look at this section in Ephesians 6. It starts at verse 10. And it says, this is Paul's letter, of course, to the church in in Ephesus. So he's writing to this group of people, the Ephesians, we call them. And he says, finally, that means there's a lot of good stuff that comes before that. And you can read the book of Ephesians. It's an amazing book. This is the end, really, of the letter. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So that's Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. We'll just stop right there for a minute before we keep going to the specific piece of armor. And he's saying we have been equipped with armor of God, that we must put on all of it, the whole armor of God. Why? What is it going to do for us? It's going to help us stand against the wiles, which means the plans or schemes or evil plots of the enemy. And he's an enemy, but he is the defeated one. And we can remind him of that and remind him of that often. You're defeated. You think you have power. No, you are defeated. You are the defeated one. And so when we put on the whole armor of God, it helps us to stand our ground, right?
Right.
I think it's cool that we're seated in heavenly places. There we're relaxed, we're seated, we're with Christ. But here against the enemy, we stand, right? We stand against the enemy. We have the whole armor of God on. And then it says, this is so important, and I think we need a reminder of this very often in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Can I get an amen, somebody? Because when you're whoever in your life, or maybe it's a stranger that cuts you off, or like we were reminiscing about that testimony that I, well, not really testimony, experience that I had in the grocery store where I was trying to help a lady, and there were like, it was like a big pallet of oranges or something. And I was going in to get one, and she was struggling to get it, and I said very sweetly, you know, sweet Sarah, I said, could I help you with that? Because I was getting one, bending one down, and she was having a struggle. And, you know, I had nothing but good intentions to say, can I help you? Can I lift one out for you? And she said, what makes you think I need help? Oh, my gosh. My lip, I was just like, I was shocked by her response. I wasn't expecting that kind of a response. Well, I'm just trying to be helpful here. And, but by the grace of God that lives inside of me, I said, well, I was getting one for myself and I thought maybe I could help you out. Well, I don't need your help. And so, well, it's a whole thing. And, you know, the Holy Spirit had to deal with my heart because there I go pushing my cart down and I'm not going to help people anymore. They're so nasty. I'm just trying to be nice. And God, I'm on. And he's like, really? Really, Sarah? Really? Like, come on now. Get over it. Okay. I had to get over it. We have to get over it. Why am I telling that story? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? It wasn't that lady, but obviously I touched something, maybe a nest of pride or something. Maybe she was having a really rough day. Maybe, you know, whatever is dealing with losing her independence. I don't know. I don't know. But I just saw one little, got one little peek into, oh, she didn't like that I offered to help her. But who knows that, you know, that's just a little example, but it could be something on a, you know, more significant in our lives where we come up against something and we realize I'm not fighting this person. I'm not fighting flesh and blood, what the word says. There's something operating here that is greater, right? Something that is goes beyond what I can see. And so we have to remind ourselves, I'm not fighting my family member. I'm fighting against, what does it say? Principalities and powers in the dark places, right? In other words, the enemy is using people around us to push our buttons, to get a reaction out of us. And the Lord forgave me because I reacted, to her, I spoke in grace, but my heart wasn't quite right when I went away, and the Lord corrected me on that. Praise God for his rebuke. Praise the Lord, because we won't have pure hearts, right? But anyways, so then it says, therefore, because of this, because we don't fight flesh and blood, because there's principalities and authorities of darkness that are operating in this world, that we have to take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the evil day. We want to be able to withstand the evil day, right? Right. And God made a way for us to do that. It's through Jesus. And it says, and having done all to stand, that when the battle finishes, that we're not laid out flat and, like a Mack truck hit us. No, when it's done, we stand. We stand and we stand victorious. Well, how can we do that? Well, let's keep reading. Ephesians, let's start, pick up Ephesians 6. Let's start at verse 14. It says, stand therefore. I mean, how many times does he say stand? A lot here, right? Let's get it. We're standing. We're in a posture. Thank you. A posture, a position of being ready to advance, being ready to move, right? Not laying down, not settling with what is happening or coming at us. So it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want you to just get a picture. This is the full armor. These are the other pieces of the armor that we have, right? So we have the belt of truth that is around our waist. And we're not going to go into all those today because we're talking about the sword of the Spirit today. But let's just read the whole thing. So having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. This is the verse, Ephesians 6, verse 17. This is our key verse. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So God, Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is so powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for your grace today, your presence, Holy Spirit. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would minister your transformation, your life, breathe your life onto each one, each heart, each life, as we open our hearts to you and as we receive your word today. We thank you for it, God. And we know that you are so good and that you want to, that you love us so much, but you want to continue to shape us and transform us by the power of your word. And we receive all that you have for us today in Jesus' mighty name. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's go back up to verse 17, Ephesians 6, verse 17. And it says, First, it mentions the helmet of salvation. And then it says, so it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, it's interesting here because this is the only piece that is described, that Paul tells us what it is. He says that it is, take up the sword of the Spirit, and he tells us exactly what it is. The other ones, it's a symbol, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth. Here he tells us the sword of the Spirit. He says, plain as day, it is the word of God, right? So he didn't want us to be confused about this. He wanted to get this one very clear to us across, that the sword of the Spirit, it is the word of God. So there's no questions about that, right? We're all clear on that. The sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. It's like a sword. Praise God. And another way that it is unique is that the other pieces largely are defensive in nature, and this is one of the only offensive weapons. Now, who likes offense in sports? You know, offense, the ones that go and do the striking, the ones that go and make the goals, right? Offense, action, it's where it's at. Can you guess did you guys know I used to play field hockey? Can you guess if I was offensive or defensive based on my, you know, personality? Defense. I played defense. Tanya knew. She knew. She got it right. I played defense, right? And I heard someone say, I thought it was funny one time, like, golf, what's up with golf? There's no defense. There's no offense. Like, I think that's funny. Sorry, Jackie. But, you know, there's like opposition, offense, defense, all this stuff. But anyways, the sword of the Spirit, it is an offensive weapon. So those that like to go in advance and charge Marge, those kind of people, yeah, let's go. But you know what? In Christ, we should all have that desire. We want to take ground for Christ, for the kingdom of God. And so we have the sword of the Spirit to do that. So he says that this is one of the pieces of the armor which is going to help us, along with all the rest of the parts together as a whole, right, to stand firm. Now, stand firm doesn't just mean firm in one place, still like a statue and not moving. But firm means moving forward, firm, steady, but advancing, proactive, going after what belongs to us, right? To maintain our position of victory in Christ. Because we know that we have it. We know that we've been delegated all power and authority, right? Is that Luke 10:19, right? That Jesus said, I have given you all power and authority over all the power of the evil one. It can by no means harm you or hurt you, right? So we have it, but we need to maintain that position. And sometimes, you know, we defend when attacks are coming against us. And other times we just charge, we just go, we take ground that is ours and that belongs to us. And so standing firm means just that, maintaining our position in Christ and saying, I'm not budging. I'm not that I'm not budging because it's advancing, it's active, but I'm not backing down, right? And in my heart, I'm not going to just settle and, oh, well, and just get into a defeated mode. That's what we're talking about standing firm. So defense obviously is necessary, right? But we also have to go on the offense to tear down strongholds, because the enemy will try to do that. And we have sometimes strongholds or lies or things that are stronghold, that have a stronghold on us, that have been raised up in our heart or our mind, in our soul, against the knowledge of God. And when we use the sword of the Spirit, we take those down, right? We take it down. We go after those strongholds. So let's break down, you know, I was digging into the Greek words here. The word, and my armor bearer can come up and help me He wanted to help me with this. Do you know what that means? Okay, I didn't tell him armor bearer, but, you know, he's my armor bearer. He's one that helps. Okay, so get out the sword, the Greek word, the long one. The Greek word for sword here, did you know there's different words in Greek for the one word that we say sword? So when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, probably, I'm guessing, most of us, hold it up, think of this one, this kind of one, with the big handle. Oh, look, he turned on the lights already. Oh, you're just like pushing us forward here. Okay, yeah, isn't that so cool? It's so fun to be a boy mom. Can we just yay for the boy moms, because look at all this fun stuff. I mean, I didn't know I would enjoy so much being a boy mom, but I love it because this stuff is all around our living room. And so the sword, the Greek word for sword in here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's actually not this, but I couldn't resist showing you this. So hold it up again. So the Greek word for sword is not this big, long sword. I don't know the Greek word for that. I didn't pay, you know, dig into that one. But isn't this just so cool? Show the lights again. I mean, how fun is that? If anyone wants to play with that after, you can. Okay, thank you. So why don't you put that one back? Yeah, get the other one. The real one, the one that we're talking about, the Greek one. The Greek word is, let's see if I can pronounce it right, makara, or something like that. And I thought it was interesting because my son was, thank you, do you want to sit back down or do you want to, like, I don't know, show a sword fight or something? Okay. So the, hang on one second. So the Greek word makara, you know, it starts with M-A-C-H. And my son this morning said, you don't need the toys. Why don't you bring dad's machete. And I thought of the word. I'm like, no, you know, we're not going to do that. You know, if you know my husband, he's like a Mexican bushman. And he just, that machete goes with us when we go camping. And we're like, where's Santos? And he is off in the bushes. I'm not even making this up. And like, with his machete, like chopping stuff down, right? And he gets that from his dad, right? He gets this honestly, because I've heard stories about Santo's dad, and he's like machete man, apparently. But why am I saying this? Oh, machete, because M-A-C-H, it's the same beginning root word of this Greek word, makara. So anyways, aren't you glad I didn't bring the real machete today? But this is the, so this is Ninja Turtles, but it's all right. Do you want to show the other one? All right, so there's a pair of these. So the word, thank you so much. You can sit down. A round of applause for my armor bearer. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the word, the Greek word makara, it actually is like a large knife or a small sword, like a dagger, like 18-inch type thing. I didn't measure this, but this represents a little bit more accurately than the long one when he says sword of the Spirit, right? It was very sharp, and it had a double edge, and so even just, you know, when the enemy would be approaching and would see somebody with this sword, with this dagger-type sword, they would just flee at the sight of it because it was so sharp. It was so lethal, pretty much. They would just run because the double edge, yikes, that just spells trouble, right? And so the enemy takes off. Well, I like that. I like that when we put it back into spiritual terms, because this, a small sword, is good for like hand combat, right? When the enemy is right up in your face, who can relate? Who's had the enemy right up in their face lately? Yeah, me too. Okay. We need something that's sharp and powerful, right? Against the enemy. When there's hand combat necessary, he's up in your face and, you know, like, I received healing. Here's an example. I received healing last Sunday, but even in the evening service, here comes the headache, massive headache, you know, and the enemy's saying, right up here in my face saying, you didn't get healed. It's not real. Jesus wasn't there. I guess it came back. Your faith isn't good. Guess what, devil? I'm going to chop your head off. I was telling in my cell group, that as these attacks have happened, I guess since becoming a pastor, funny about that, welcome to pastorhood, when you're advancing, when you're going on the offensive with God and you're following Jesus and you're being changed and transformed by Jesus and you're on mission with him, the devil doesn't like it one bit and you get a target on your back. I'm not scaring anybody from going into ministry. On the contrary, I want to encourage you because yes, there's a target on your back and yes, the devil will cause some things, but guess what? Jesus is with us all the way and he shapes and forms us and makes a warrior out of us. And so this is what we were talking about with my cell group of our personalities and, people just have defined me as just sweet Sarah. Well, guess what? I'm getting tough. Not against people. I'll love on you. If you need hugs, it's a ride. I'll sing over you. Okay. But we should be like this. What is it? Gentle as doves. What's the scripture?
Fierce as lions.
Right. And so against the enemy, we need to be relentless, and we need to use the sword of the Spirit, because when you take up the word of God and use it, the sword of the Spirit, when the enemy is in your face telling you all the lies and nah, 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 and look at your family, they're a mess, and nah, 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 you use the word of God and you fight that thing off. You go on the offense, not even on the defense, but you also go on the offense with the word of God. You don't wait for the attacks to come. You get the word of God built up in you so that it is a dagger in your life and that you are conquering ground for your family, for your finances, at your workplace. Name any other context, your body, believing for healing. And so we must have this deep appreciation, not just appreciation, but application, Sister Rivka. I love the application because I can have this sword in my belt all day long. And it's like us when we come to church. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that scripture. Yeah, you know that scripture. Are you fighting with that scripture? Are you using that scripture? Are you slamming that scripture from in the face of the enemy from a place of faith when he's up in your face saying, it doesn't work? Well, it doesn't matter if it's just in your belt. It's got to be alive in your heart, right? And that's what makes the word of God come alive. That's what makes the sharp edge, because the devil's like, oh, she really means it this time. And she's speaking from a place of genuine faith. Like, she really means it. It's not just empty words of us. Sometimes, we do wrong about, don't get me wrong. We need words. We need to declare words, but the power behind it isn't just in reciting the word. It's in the faith in our heart. We've got to put the faith behind it. Praise the Lord. The other thing I noticed here is that the sword, it says the sword of the Spirit. Have you ever noticed that? It's not our sword. It's not just your sword. It's not the sword of Sarah. It's the sword that belongs to the Spirit. It's the word of God. It's his. It's the weapon that the Holy Spirit gives us to fight with. And on our behalf, he uses the word to fight, right? And push back the enemy when the evil day breaks out in our lives, right? And it's the word of God. It's Jesus, because Jesus is the word, right? John 1:1, I'm jumping all over my notes, but it's okay. John 1:1, in the beginning, where is it? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is The Word. The Word made flesh. And so the fact that the sword of it's of the Spirit, it's in the spirit realm, and we get to use it. We've been delegated that. We've been given the Word of God from the Spirit of God. So all of the power of the heavens, of the Spirit of God, is at our disposal to use. We have it. We have it living inside of us. If you have Jesus and you've been born again, then you have the living Word, Jesus, that came in the flesh. You have that on the inside of you. Praise God. So back to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I know we've talked about this maybe before, but I want to just break it down a little bit more because I think it applies here and is important for some aspects of this, of what we're talking about. There are three words in the original Greek that are translated Word of God, right? And one of them is the graphe. The graphe is the words written on a page. It's actually the book itself. This is the graphe. It's like the physical book, right? Who's old school like me and has the Bible? Okay, maybe you have graphe on your phone. All right, but who likes the, like, we got to do this up by the mic. The turn of the pages. Yeah, it's like, it's just, speak to me, God. It's like God going, we're going to speak to her. Boom, here comes the sword of the Spirit. This is the graphe. That's one of the words. This is confusing to say because it's one of the words, Greek words, translated for the English word, word. Yeah, clear as mud, Sarah. Okay. Yeah. Does that make sense? So graphe, it's the words on the page. But that's not what he's saying here. It's not the graphe, the sword of the Spirit, the graphe of God. No, it's not that. Another word, Greek word, translated for English word, word, is the logos. I think I'm saying that right. I used to say logos, but when I listen to it in the Greek, it says logos or something like that. So it's the message of the graphe that represents the unchanging and the eternal mind or the counsel of God. It's when you understand what the scripture is saying, what the message is of the book, of the graphe, and it represents the unchanging, eternal, it lasts forever, the whole counsel and wisdom and mind of God. That's the logos word. It's God's mind revealed to us. It's the message. It's the written word of God here. You know, in the scripture, Hebrews 4:12, that says, for the word of God is living and powerful. That's the logos, the word of God, the message of God, the full, unchanging, eternal counsel of the mind of God. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm reading, this is Hebrews 4, verse 12. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Have you ever read something and you just feel like cut to the heart? Yes. Have you ever read the book of Proverbs? I always felt like that with the book of Proverbs. Like conviction. We used to do this in our Bible school in Argentina. We would go like this, like the Holy Spirit's giving us a slap around, like a rebuke of, like, you know, when you read the book of Proverbs and like, oh my gosh, I got to straighten up, you know. Praise God. But it's saying that the word of God, the logos word, the message, the counsel of God, that it is so powerful because it does. It cuts to the heart. It gets right to, you know, there's no pretending with the word of God. And it brings conviction to our lives. But the logos isn't also that's not the word that we're talking about for word in Ephesians 6:17, when we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Okay, so what is it, Sarah? You're just dragging this on. What is it? Okay, it is the Rhema. We've heard this before, right? The Rhema Word of God is the utterance or the spoken Word of God to you in your life. It's revelation. The Rhema Word is revelation that comes alive inside of you when you are studying, when you are reading the Word of God, and it comes alive. It jumps off the page and you're like, he's got my mail. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking that to you. It's the living Word abiding inside of you. That's the Rhema Word. That's God giving you a personal message. And it may not be his spoken, audible voice, but it's his voice to your life. It's his voice that is so unique. That it is so unique. I love that about God, that he's so personal. I mean, I can, you know, when we study, like we're studying 1 Peter, I'm in cell group and I read a word and then we talk about it and I might get one thing out of it or what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and somebody else has something totally different. Well, praise God, because he's a personal God. And when he brings revelation into our lives, it's unique and personal, and he knows what we each need. Praise the Lord. In John 10, it says, his sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they don't follow. So if you are spending time with God, you are in his word, ask him. You will hear his voice. You will hear his voice because we are programmed to hear his voice, not the voice of a stranger. And so this is the same Greek word for word that we're talking about, the rhema here, as in Romans 10:17. And Eric Burton did a fabulous job last weekend. If you were not here, and even if you were, do me a favor, go back and listen to that. It's on the podcast. Was it the service in the morning? Yes. That he talked about, yeah, because the evening was Rafa. And that should soon be up on podcast, by the way. But the morning service with Eric Burton last week, the 16th of August, look it up, watch it on YouTube or this commercial, little commercial break, YouTube or our Facebook channel. So it's the same Rhema word as in Romans 10:17 that says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he dissects that really well. So faith comes when I hear God's voice, when he personally, you know, gives a message to my heart and I hear him. It comes alive. It's revelation. My Bible, I don't know about you guys, but when you feel like God speaks to you something, do you write? Like, do you, I don't know, have some mark in your Bible? Mm-hmm. My Bible is, I wouldn't say full, but I have a lot. There's some right here. And I usually put dates and like, here's for a family member. It's got their name there. There's stars. And, you know, sometimes I'll write like what situation or, I mean, I have things that are say 2010, like words that are scriptures that God gave me, like for family members and things to intercede from 2010. That's a while back, right? Praise God. And it could be even further back. But Rhema is also what Jesus used when the Holy Spirit took him in, took him to the desert, took him into the wilderness, and the enemy, the devil was, Satan was coming up against him and tempting him with those temptations. It was the Word of God. It was the Rhema. It was the revelation that had been made real and came alive to Jesus that he, he responded with a dagger, you know, to that temptation time after time, right? In that encounter that we read about in the Gospels. Praise the Lord. So this is what we're talking about. This Rhema Word of God, it's powerful. It's the Word of God that you have alive in your heart, that the Lord has spoken to you, that has come alive inside of you. That's the word that becomes a debilitating dagger against the enemy. when he's right up in your face, you know, saying his lies and trying to get you to doubt the faithfulness of God and trying to get you to doubt the goodness of God, it's that word of God. Not just the I know it up here word of God, not just I can recite a scripture, but it's the one that comes out of your heart because you've heard God's voice. That's the one that sticks it to him and makes him tuck his tail between his legs and flee. Amen? Amen? Is somebody get excited or just me? Because that is awesome. The Bible says in James 4:7 that we must submit to God. The order is important here. You've got to submit to God in order to do the next one, which is resist the devil. And then the formula, what happens? What's the? He will flee. That's the consequence. Submit to God. What does that look like? Oh, God. And I'll tell you in real short, maybe I've shared this testimony. I was having reoccurring, tormenting dreams about my decision that I had made, a life choice, and that I felt was right. I felt I had heard from God and I had peace about that. But I was having these series of dreams that was trying to heap guilt on me for that decision that I made, even though I knew it was from God, right? And that, who knows, that was not from God. Those dreams were not from God. They were tormenting dreams. Those were from the principalities and authorities from all the dark places trying to get me to change my mind or doubt or, you know, all this stuff. And so God took me to this scripture and he said, basically, it was like a lesson. You need the Holy Spirit to teach us lessons sometimes, right? And he broke that down for me. He said, here's what you do to get rid of these dreams. Because after the third time, it was just like, it got more and more intense and like, ah, what is going on? This is not, like, I've done everything I could do. It had to do with relationships. So it was like, well, I forgave that person. Do I need to forgive them more? So he said, James 4:7. Submit to God. What does that look like? Oh God, I just give you my heart again. I surrender all that I am to you. If there's any offensive way in me, show me. If I need to forgive this person again, I cut all ties with them. I, you know, whatever. Show me what else to do, Lord. I submit to you. I ask forgiveness for anything that I did that wasn't right and blah, blah, blah. Submit to God. Align yourself with him. Align yourself to his word. And so I did that and I did that out in prayer from my heart because I was like, desperate. And I'm like, okay, good. The Holy Spirit's teaching me. And so then it was like, okay, I got a release, green light. When that was done, okay, go to the next thing. Resist the devil. How do I do that? Well, you can't resist the devil and be effective if you haven't first submitted to God. Right. Amen. Amen. You must be submitted to God. So resist the devil looks like, oh God, take the devil away. No, it does not. That's not what it looks like. Are you ready? This is what it looks like. You back off in the name of Jesus because I am submitted to Jesus, my King and my Lord. You back off and you take these guilt-ridden dreams and you go with your torment. You go, and I don't mean maybe, you go out of my life now in Jesus' name. That's how you do it. Praise God. Maybe somebody got set free from that, like Lester Summer all the time. Praise God. It's just a demonstration, but I really felt that. Did you guys feel that? I really felt that. Oh, it's Jesus. It's the power in us. That's how he wants us to be. And even if you're like me, you know, just the natural part of you, your personality is like, oh, you know, I you have the mercy gift and that's good. And you know, we got to be loving with people. We need to attract people. Don't be like that with people, okay? That's against the spirit. That's against darkness. With people, we need to be loving and gracious. We need to attract them to Jesus. If they see you with the dagger pointed at them, then you know, it's not good. Let me just be clear here, you know. We need to be full of grace. We need to be full of grace. But we need to get fierce with the devil. I think many of us, for way too long, myself included, that's why the Holy Spirit's teaching me all this stuff. And then I'll get back to the story. You just said you didn't finish your story. Okay, right. I'll get back to the story. we have settled for way too long. And we've just been like doormats, you know, and just like, oh, well, here comes another thing. Oh, well, here comes another thing. And it just, oh, well, I'm just, or I try, but then it just, you know, all this stuff coming at me. No, we're going to be fierce and relentless. The violent take it by force, because all of it belongs to us, but we need to contend for it. We need to stick it to the devil and say, no, this is our territory. My family is off limits to you. My body is off limits to you. And you can't harass me anymore. You can't come with all this junk and try to get me in torment or get me in peace or get me or lack of peace or get me into doubt and doubting if God was there or God wasn't there and blah, 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 blah. Go. All of that, go, and whatever the problem is, this is fun. This is really fun. I see this thing waving around. Okay, so resist the devil. So I did that, and the Holy Spirit was like, good, that's good. You're getting tough. All right, good. Next thing, he will flee. And he said, it's not a maybe. I will flee. He said, the devil will flee when you submit to God, James 4:7 I'm talking about. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will run away because we are standing up in our position of authority in Christ and not putting up with the junk of the devil anymore. And guess what happened? The dream stopped. Hey, it works. I probably came back to them and say, it works. It works what you've been teaching. It works. Our authority in Jesus, it works. But it's not just something you try. It's something that you live. You get on the inside of you. And so this word of God, we must get it on the inside of us. And like Eric Burton was talking about for healing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, not just hearing one thing and let it go out the other ear, from one ear and let it go out, but hearing, let it come alive on the inside of you. Let Jesus, the revelation of who Jesus is, the word made flesh, Rapha, in this case, when we're talking about healing, comes alive on the inside of you. That's the word that is powerful, like a two-edged sword, right? It's the sword of the spirit. That is debilitating because the devil can't stand against that. Because, ooh, they mean it now. They really mean it now, because the devil tries to get us all in all these traps and stuff. And his battle is only it's spiritual beings are the demons, but it tries to get us fighting on a, how do I say this? In a fleshly way, in the fleshly realm with our five senses, you know, what I can see. Yeah, but I feel this thing. So how can I be healed? Because I feel this thing here. I feel this pain, or I feel this, you know, whatever. Or I see the problems with my family member that I'm praying for, or I see the dysfunction in the, you know, whatever. So the devil tries to fight us on this plane of logic and what we really see. But when we get the word of God, this is more real than anything. This right here, we need a revelation of the power of the word of God. And I'm preaching to myself here that it gets inside of our heart, because when we are convinced of that, when we've had the Lord speak to us, like, I love how Pastor Israel, just before I came up, said, I love that scripture in Isaiah, right? He was talking about that you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, that's what we need. When we go to read the word of God, it's not just, okay, I checked this off. Meet with me today, God. I want to hear your voice. I want to know that you are with me. I want to read this word and have you jump out to me of like, okay, that's what he's saying. And that's what he's saying about this situation. And because that's what it's saying and it's coming alive in my heart, then I know how to walk out a certain situation. I know how to fight against the attacks and the lies of the enemy. So when we get the word, the rhema word, when we've heard his voice and it's Jesus himself, manifest Jesus in the word from John 1, then that's what comes out. And that is what is so debilitating to the enemy, because we're in the spirit realm with what God says, his powerful, unchanging word of God. And he and the devil just can't measure up with that. And we are powerful. And so we must get that alive in our hearts, a revelation of who he is. The Word made flesh, Jesus, and all the fullness of God, all that he is, covers every need, everything that you're waiting for, everything that you're praying for breakthrough in. He is the Word made flesh. And so when we have that Word come alive, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word. Jesus, the Word, I need you to be manifest to me when I read today. Come and speak to me. That it's like hearing your voice behind me, and I will know the way and I will walk in it, because then we don't waver. And when the enemy comes then the next day to say, nah, you didn't get it, shut up, I've got that word, whatever the scripture is, or whatever the it doesn't always have to be a scripture per se, but it's got to line up with the word of God, right? Here's an example of a rhema word that in my life. When we were, you know, we received the call to adoption, to adopt a child, and we knew that. And it's a really long story, but you know, the devil didn't like that. The devil didn't like that one bit, right? And so tried to come at different times or moments that, you know, I had thoughts of like, what are we doing? Oh my gosh. Like, you know, it was really a leap of faith to do this and to trust God. And, you know, in this moment of like, God, I don't know about this. And, you know, the insecurity of it. The Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is a rhema word. It's not like a scripture, because I went looking it up. It lines up to scripture, but he just whispered this to my heart for my situation that was unique for me in that case of like, we're adopting a kid. Like, how is this going to be? What is it? You know, what if we get, I don't know what we're going to get. What are you going to give us? You know, who are you going to give us? And he said, I do all things well. Peace. The perfect shalom peace. And my little armor bearer that you saw come up here and that has these really cool toys, he's the I do all things well, God says. Because God knew this child is for us and that we are for this child. And so sometimes I look at him and I think, God, I hear God's voice when he whispered that to my heart. I do all things well. And I look at him and I say, yes, God, you do all things well. You do all things well. So well, so good. But if I didn't have that voice, that rhema word to me, I would have still gone through shaky thoughts, shaky moments. But every time from that point on, that was my word. That was my grounding. That was my revelation. And it has to line up to the word of God. And that does. That does line up. He does all things well. He is good, right? And there's scriptures that lead to that. And so whatever form the rhema comes, seek it out. Ask him. It could come, you know, God's voice can come through dreams. He can speak to you in so many ways. The point is, get into the word of God and ask Jesus to manifest himself to you. Ask him to speak to you, because that is what you will fight with. When the uncertainty comes, when the doubts come, when the fear comes, that's what you fight with. That word that God has spoken in your heart. And you know the beautiful thing? Nobody can take that away. Nobody. The devil can't take that away unless you render it, unless you let it go. But I guarantee when God speaks to your heart and whispers something to your heart, a truth, and makes it come alive on the inside of you, I'm telling you, it's there. Don't let that go. Don't let that go. Don't surrender that to the enemy. Hold on with that. Fight with that and fight to the end. Perseverance. Stand. And when you've done all, to stand. And then what do? You keep standing. and you stand and you fight with that word of God. And then imagine with all the other pieces of armor, we have the shield of faith, we have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, we have the helmet of salvation, we have the gospel of the shoes of peace, and we have the sword of the Spirit. Gosh, we are armed and dangerous. Who can touch us now? Right? Amen. Who can touch us? All of that. The whole, put on the whole armor of God. And here's a tip. Don't take it off. Don't take it off. You go to bed with the armor on. Praise the Lord. Dedicate your sleep to Him as well. You are for Him. With Him. Praise the Lord. In Him. Okay, one testimony. You want to test another testimony? Praise God. Some of you have heard this one. I have no idea what time it is. Okay, 12. We're okay. Praise the Lord. Whew, I feel fiery today. It's fun to kick the devil where it hurts. Praise the Lord. And it's with the word. Okay, so testimony. I was living in Argentina, full-time missionary, blah, blah, with YWAM, and a team of us was going to Brazil. It was the first time I would be going to Brazil, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me to go to Brazil, and okay, this is exciting. Okay, a whole nother language. I think I'm just struggling to get Spanish down, but let's throw Portuguese in the mix. Okay, sure, I'll go, and So you're from the United States, blah, 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 and it's a little tricky sometimes to get a visa, and so got to go to the embassy in Buenos Aires, the embassy to get the Brazilian visa. Well, I checked the wrong box, and I don't know what I'm doing, and so they rejected me. I didn't get the visa, and I go home, and I said to my disciple maker, well, I guess... This was the old Sarah. This is not the Sarah that you see now, right? I guess I'm not going to Brazil because they rejected the visa. She was like, wait, what? Who said you're not going? Well, the embassy people, they didn't give me the visa. I'm not approved. Okay, yeah, but who told you that you were going? I said, God. She said, yeah, and you have conviction that God spoke that to you, right? And I said, yeah. And so you're just going to let them tell you no, and that's it? And you just give up right now and say you're not going? And I was like, well, I guess I'm supposed to say that I'm no. But I was giving up. You know, I came home giving up until she confronted me with this. And she taught me how to fight and to fight with the word of God. And she gave me an assignment. She was tough, man. She was tough. But it's always the tough ones that make you grow, right? The teachers in school that were like so hard and strict. Well, guess what? I mean... She made me grow because I wouldn't have learned this anyways. She sent me to my room like my mother, you know. She's like, go to your room and get the word and get God speaking to you. Like, ask God what he says about it. If he told you that you were going to go to Brazil, then I don't think he's taking that back. So you better go figure it out and get an agreement with him and ask for a scripture to fight with. And I was like, okay, do that. And, you know. So the lie that sometimes used to plague the old Sarah that I don't hear God's voice. Well, that's just a lie, you know. And so I locked myself in my room. I still can picture it. And got with God and speak to me, God. What is this? Guess what he spoke? He spoke. I got to read it just to make sure I don't mess it up. Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So I marched back with that word, with confidence in my heart, marched back to the embassy saying, God makes a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. He makes a way in the wilderness and a streams in the desert. And I went back and forth to that embassy, I don't know, a few times. And the guard, the security guard who was at the elevator was like, you again? You're back? And I'm like, yep. He makes a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I said it in English or Spanish, but, you know, probably just said it in English because that's what I heard in my, you know, that's what I heard from God. God speaks English to me. And even though I was living in South America and had to speak Spanish all the time, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you spoke English to me because I just needed a break sometimes from the head bulging from Spanish. And then you talk about trying to learn Portuguese. Anyway, so I go back several times. He's like, "You again? Yeah, it's me again. I'm going to get it." And I got it. Praise Lord. I fought. I got it. And it was an amazing time in Brazil. And it was a struggle even leaving, too. They held me up at the airport. The rest of my team went through. And now you're not going to let me leave. You wouldn't let me come, and now you won't let me leave. And they gave me like a black mark or something because I apparently counted wrong. Okay, math isn't my thing, but I counted wrong and I was like left. My visa was for 30 days and I left on the 31st day or something because I had forgotten that I think it was the month of December, whatever, had 31 days. And get a calendar and count these things for certain people, because they like took me to this room and the guy's speaking Portuguese and I'm like, "I do Spanish or English, choose one." Like, I don't know, I can speak Spanish to you, but they like asked me all these questions and they're holding the plane. They finally let me go, and later I had a black mark that I had to take care of on my, you know, I had to pay a fine the next time I went to Brazil. But it's real bad when you walk on a plane and everyone's glaring at you because everybody's seating and like they were waiting for I don't know how long. And I'm like sitting in the back of the plane. So I had to face everybody, and my team is back there and they're like, "Yeah, she made it." I'm like, "You guys are going to leave me? Like, you're just going to get on. Bye." Like, but anyways, praise God, it ended well. They let me in. They let me out. By the grace of God. But the point is, fight with the word of God. If a situation, you know, looks like it's counteracting what you know to be true and what God has spoken to your heart, don't settle with that. Don't just lay down and take it. Get the word of God, and all the time to be on the offensive of things. Get the word of God alive in our hearts. This will change our prayer time. This will change our reading time, because we're not just reading to read or to... Yeah, it's good to study and dig into it, but God, what do you want to say to me? What are you saying? I need to hear your voice every time we approach him, because he is the living word. He is Jesus in the flesh, alive in here, and he wants to speak to you. It's his love letter to all of us, but he wants to make it personal to each one, and it's so fun when we do. Life with the Holy Spirit is amazing, and it's vibrant, and it's fun, and it's nothing but boring. So get into the word of God and fight. Get that sword of the Spirit, and you will be debilitating. Get it alive, that word alive in your heart, and you will be debilitating to the power of the enemy to chop off his head and watch him go fleeing. Why don't you stand for a moment and let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.